This is Jordan Seculo. Today on J Seculo Live, the FBI releases its report to the Senate on Brett Kavanaugh.
Live from Washington, D.C., J Seculo Live.
The information that was asked and requested by senators, additional information, has now been provided. And as Chairman Grassley said in a statement earlier this morning, now that they have that information, it's time for the Senate to vote and it's time for them to confirm Judge Kavanaugh.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Do you believe this Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed? I know what you hope. You hope he doesn't. But do you believe he will?
I think this will be a very close vote. It hangs by a few undecided Democrats and Republicans. I haven't read this report yet. If I were to just guess today, he will be narrowly confirmed.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to J Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you have not yet heard, the Senate has begun to review the FBI supplemental report on Brett Kavanaugh that was requested last week. The White House authorized that after Jeff Flake basically said, I will not vote yes on Brett Kavanaugh. There may be other Republican senators who won't unless this report is done. That report has now been released to the U.S. Senate. The White House, who received the report first because the FBI is the executive branch agency, has already come out and said, and this is the best case scenario for Brett Kavanaugh, because as we said, the FBI would not come out and say Dr. Ford is a liar. But what we have heard is that there was no other information to corroborate any of the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. That is the best case scenario for Brett Kavanaugh. Cloture motion has been filed. That happened last night after we were on the air. We will explain to you what that means. But I think this is a very telling remark. It just happened moments ago from Senator Dianne Feinstein. Take a listen.
What I can say is that the most notable part of this report is what's not in it.
You know what's not in it? Any corroborated allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. And they're upset. I will not put anything past. We said this was really phase two. Already yesterday, the tweets were coming out, the phase three attack, that Brett Kavanaugh was, it didn't matter what was in the report, he doesn't have the right temperament. I mean, you could literally see the tweets coming out from Democrat senators. They were there. So they've still got that line of attack that they are pushing against Brett Kavanaugh. But the FBI report has come out. They are reviewing it. And as of right now, it is not public, but all indications are from everybody who's seen it from both sides of the aisle is that it was a very thorough report. That was the words from a very important Senator Susan Collins of Maine, who has been a toss-up on this vote, and that there is no new information there. Nothing to corroborate any of the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. This is as close as it could get to Brett Kavanaugh for being cleared, because the FBI was not going to come back and make a conclusion that Dr. Ford was lying or that these other allegations were lies. They will just put out and say, you know, they don't have any of their other information to corroborate these stories. And so it's kind of like where we were last week. It's a word for word, but in a sense, a step further, because now you really have tried to find other people to corroborate this from an outside the U.S. Senate in the FBI law enforcement world, and they have not been able to do so. So, Than, cloture has been filed. Explain to people what's going to happen these next 24, 36 hours.
Yeah, it was filed last night on the floor of the Senate, Jordan. Basically, that means that at any point tomorrow, they could take a cloture vote, which would be a vote to end debate on the floor of the Senate. Now, Leader McConnell has said he is going to take that vote no later than 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time tomorrow. It could be before that. And in fact, I think there's a high likelihood they'll reach an agreement to take the vote earlier in the morning, because, Jordan, then what it sets off, if cloture is approved, it means there will be 30 hours of post-cloture debate before a final vote. I think they'll probably agree to take that vote earlier in the day tomorrow, because they're going to want to get out of town on Saturday. But look, these votes are coming. There's going to be a cloture vote tomorrow, or on tomorrow, and then a final vote on Saturday.
I mean, so think about that, folks. We are heading very quickly towards the confirmation vote on Brett Kavanaugh. There are still toss-ups. There are still Republican toss-ups. We'll talk about that. We will answer your questions. Get your comments. What do you think about this? FBI report comes out. Nothing in it to corroborate any stories. That's not enough for Democrats, of course. Let's get your comments. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. They are upset because of what's not in it. What's not in it is information that would have put this nomination and caused it to go down. 1-800-684-3110.
J It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Okay, so the FBI report has been delivered from the FBI to the White House, to the U.S. Senate. Senators are reviewing it right now. Some already have. The word out from both sides is that there is no information to corroborate any of the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. What does that mean? That means as of now, as of everyone that has reviewed it so far, the public has not been able to. We have not been able to review that yet. This information hasn't leaked. It's being kept very close to the vest by the U.S. Senate. Is that this will now enter phase three of the attack on Brett Kavanaugh. It's that while this doesn't matter, we don't like his temperament. We don't like the fact that he was tough on us because we made allegations that we now know could not be corroborated by our nation's top law enforcement agency, the FBI, and they didn't like how Brett Kavanaugh acted when he was being accused of that by those Democrat senators who made this an extremely partisan process. Beverly on Facebook writes this, though. Now, the cloture vote, that motion has been filed. That should happen tomorrow. The confirmation vote should happen on Saturday. But Beverly on Facebook writes, as we're getting the phone calls ready to go, what can the Democrats do now to obstruct, or has their game run out? Than, I think their game is close, but I stay very guarded and vigilant if you are a Brett Kavanaugh supporter. Because though Susan Collins has made what could be interpreted as positive comments after reviewing the report, saying you know it seems to be very thorough, and complete. That's the opposite of what Democrats want are saying. So she's not calling for more investigations. Jeff Flake, same, you know, nothing there. But this war is not yet over. We talked about the phase three, which was already happening. This was still phase two, the sexual allegations. Phase three is temperament, and they're still focusing on that. And I think that we'll see that shift happen in the next few hours.
Yeah, and look, the Senate Democrats aren't going to be convinced on this, Jordan. So they're not going to stop the targeting, and they know just as well as you and I do that the three Republican senators that they need to convince two of the three, either Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, or Jeff Flake. And Jordan, I don't think it's going to stop all the way through Saturday, and here's why. I think they will make an argument to those three senators that even if you vote for cloture tomorrow, you think there's enough information out there, you think this FBI investigation was thorough, that's reason enough to stop debate. But we want to convince you that this is not the right nominee for the court. And I think they will still continue making those arguments to those three senators all the way up until Saturday. But Jordan, at some point, those three senators have to step into the well of the Senate and do the job that their constituents elected them to do. And by the way, the job that the Constitution requires of them. It doesn't require a yes vote or a no vote, but it does require that they provide advice and consent. So at some point, come Saturday, they're going to have to come down and put their money where their mouth is.
Yeah. Adelaide writes on Facebook, will McCaskill vote for Kavanaugh? She is in a close race. That's right. I mean, the Real Clear Politics average has her down half a point. So, I mean, a very close race in Missouri. That being said, Than, we don't believe that like Claire McCaskill would be the vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh, the vote to get it to 50, yeah. So the vice president could be the vote to confirm it. What we do believe is that if you get Flake, Collins, Murkowski, that it's very likely that you'll get maybe a Joe Manchin and a Claire McCaskill, because they won't be the deciding votes, but it will make their constituents back a better vote for them to take in a red state like West Virginia and Missouri.
Yeah, politically speaking, Jordan, in all three of those states, I think the constituents of those states would prefer their senators to vote yes. I mean, the polling we have out of North Dakota and West Virginia is overwhelming. Judge Kavanaugh has a plus 30 favorability there, which is almost unheard of. You know, you've got Joe Manchin probably up by 6 or 8 points. You've got Heidi Heitkamp, whose race is really falling away from her. In the last poll I saw, she was down 12 points there in North Dakota. So she would really like to be a yes vote. Claire McCaskill, the same way. The race is running towards Josh Hawley there. I think she would politically benefit from a yes vote. But here's just the reality. You said it, and I think it's basically an ironclad truth. None of them are going to provide the 49th or the 50th vote for Judge Kavanaugh. All of them might be willing to provide the 51st, the first 52nd, or the 53rd. But ultimately, Senate Republicans are going to have to deliver 50 votes on Judge Kavanaugh if he's going to become Justice Kavanaugh.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. The breaking news here is that we are moving very close to actual votes on Brett Kavanaugh, votes that matter, the cloture vote that matters, Dan. That vote is let's explain to people again. We will do it throughout the show, but a couple of times so people understand what's happening. This cloture vote that will happen tomorrow, how many votes are required to move forward, and what happens in the meantime between that cloture vote and the actual final vote to get Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court?
So the only way you can end debate on any measure in the United States Senate, Jordan, is either by unanimous consent or by taking a cloture vote, which is a vote to agree to end debate. Now, clearly, there's not unanimous consent to end debate on this nomination. There never would be. So Leader McConnell had to file a cloture motion last night. Under Rule 22 of the Senate, there has to be an intervening date, which is today, before he can take that vote on the cloture motion. So tomorrow, at any point, and he has said it will be before 1 o'clock, he will call the roll on that cloture motion. So senators will go down to the floor, and a yes vote would mean, yes, we are ready to end debate on this nomination. A no vote would be, we want to keep debating this nomination. So it takes 50 votes. You can have a tiebreaker from the vice president, so you really only need 50 votes to end debate on that cloture motion. If it's approved, Jordan, it immediately sets the clock to 30 hours. You can have 30 hours of post-cloture debate before you take the final vote. So, you know, hypothetical, if that vote was at noon tomorrow, in theory, the Democrats could continue debating it until 6 p.m. on Saturday night, or they could yield some of that time back. But bottom line, a vote tomorrow morning or up to 1 o'clock on the cloture motion, which will set a 30-hour time clock in motion before the final vote.
Good question coming in from Mike in Pennsylvania, Online 5, talking about the process here. We also want to talk about what do you think is coming next. I don't think the Democrats are ready to back down yet. Chris Coons kind of sounded like that he expects a confirmation by a slim majority. But I think, again, they would like you to put your guard down. They would like Brett Kavanaugh's team to put his guard down. Mike from Pennsylvania, you're on the air. Hey, Mike.
Yes, sir.
You're live Hello? With us.
Okay, great. It's too bad that I have to think this way, but I was just curious if the left just tried to fake it out and act like they were actually going to confirm, which would force the vote, and then change their mind at the last minute, which would give Kavanaugh the vote but not the confirmation. Is that legally possible? Could they do that?
Yeah, you could absolutely have more votes for cloture than for confirmation, Than. I mean, It's unusual, but I think that it would be unusual that someone would get through and enough would drop through. But there has always been that argument that you should have up or down votes, and that would be that vote, the cloture vote, to allow the up or down vote. But things have changed since we went from a 60-vote threshold and the filibuster to a 51-vote threshold.
Yeah, this is a conversation I've had with a bunch of people today, Jordan, and typically you're right. A cloture vote, the tally on that's going to look very much like the final confirmation. That is not necessarily the case on this, because I can see a Heidi Heitkamp or a Joe Manchin saying, look, I really wanted a thorough investigation. The FBI gave us that, so I did think it was time to wrap up debate, but ultimately I couldn't get there. And I think the same thing is true for someone like Jeff Flake. You know, he might say, I got the investigation I wanted, so I'm good for a cloture. Don't assume that means he's good on a final. I think both of those hurdles are ones to watch on this one, Jordan.
All right. I mean, so there you go, Mike. I mean, I think very good question. And as Than said, unlike the past, very possible that this is one where you could see people voting different ways on the first vote for cloture. So don't take things for granted right now. Yes, this was the best case scenario for Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to move forward. For him to be confirmed was that the FBI report came back and there was nothing to corroborate, nothing to raise suspicions of any of the allegations against him. That has occurred. The Senate is reviewing it now, but all reports from both sides of the aisle indicate that. So now you get the cloture motions filed last night, but the Democrats now would like to tell you he doesn't have a good personality for the Supreme Court. I don't like his temperament. I don't like his attitude. I don't like how he treated us in the U.S. Senate. Now, this is someone who we can now say with the FBI a supplemental background report in our back pocket, who has been accused of horrendous crimes. I mean, I think just putting it that way, taking out the salaciousness of what the crimes are, accused of horrendous crimes, and the Democrats don't like the way he responded to being accused of horrendous crimes with no corroboration that were thrown on him by leaks to the media, by information held by partisan Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee and Dianne Feinstein's staff. That was obviously something they would plan if, as usual, they were not very good in their actual hearings. Let me remind you of Cory Booker. I know it doesn't get a lot of attention anymore. And his Spartacus moment, that was a phony moment where he lied about he was going to break all these rules and give up his Senate seat even. I mean, this was not the case. And yet, we're forgetting all about that. But they knew, the Senate Democrats, they had something else to try. And now that they've tried that, they're going to say, we don't like the way he responded to what we tried with those accusations. So that's the next phase. And we're still in that right now. That is starting, and I think you will start hearing that more and more. Listen for the word temperament today coming out of Senate Democrats. Count how many times you hear it. We come back. We take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to play this from Chris Coons. Chris Coons went on Fox & Friends this morning, and he was asked about the vote. Now, Chris Coons is a Democrat, one who I think is, you could say, is responsible for getting Jeff Flake, to some extent, to pull that stunt to say that there's got to be a supplemental investigation. It was, let me remind you, Jeff Flake, who put the limits that he said, you know, it just needs to be a week. It just needs to cover these topics. And if so, I will vote yes to move this nomination forward, which he did on the Judiciary Committee. He hasn't voted, committed to voting anyway on cloture or on the actual confirmation of vote. But here is something telling from Chris Coons. Now, I don't. Was it a slip? Does this all change? Is this to fire up the base? You be the judge. We can discuss it too. Take a listen, Bite 11.
Do you believe this Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed? I know what you hope. You hope he doesn't, but do you believe he will?
I think this will be a very close vote. It hangs by a few undecided Democrats and Republicans. I haven't read this report yet. If I were to just guess today, he will be narrowly confirmed.
So interesting. That Chris Coons, who is on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Than, has said that he believes Brett Kavanaugh will be narrowly confirmed. Now, that may be because he is good friends with Jeff Flake, and he doesn't, maybe he does not want to join what could be a somewhat embarrassing battle against Brett Kavanaugh. We will see what other comments he has to make. Certainly, he's a no vote on Brett Kavanaugh, but you know, are we starting to see, Than, some break in the Democrats? I take nothing for granted until these votes occur, until Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed. But are we starting to see a break? Or maybe that was a slip to even admit that he believes that Brett Kavanaugh would get confirmed. Or maybe he's trying to get us to stop talking about it.
Yeah, that certainly could be. But whether it was a break or a slip, Jordan, I think it is the best indication we have had to date of where Jeff Flake stands on this vote. I mean, again, you said it, but Senator Coons, Senator Flake, very good friends. They were the two senators instrumental in the agreement for this one-week delay. And if you combine it with what Jeff Flake said, that if he saw no additional corroborating information inside this report, he would be a yes vote. Well, Senator Coons has seen the report. Senator Flake has seen the report. And they both seem to have come to the conclusion that there's nothing additional. So I think the comments from Senator Coons probably are the best indication of where Senator Flake is that we've seen to this point. Jordan, I would disagree with one word that Senator Coons gave, and that's that it hangs on a few Democrats and a few Republicans. You might get some Democrat votes, but it doesn't hang on those Democrat votes. It hangs on the three Republicans that we've been talking about.
The New York Times has a headline out right now. Two key Republicans signal satisfaction with FBI's Kavanaugh inquiry. This report just was released to the Senate this morning. I mean, so just for the last few hours, those two are Jeff Flake and Susan Collins. So we haven't heard anything yet from Lisa Murkowski. She may not have had time to review anything yet. This is going in order, like some kind of order. So that could be later in the afternoon. But I expect that we will hear statements from everyone in the U.S. and especially those who have put themselves in the position of being the deciding votes, who have made known that they are toss-up votes and they are undecided to the public, and so that, yes, they're going to get the focus. So Jeff Flake and Susan Collins have made positive comments about the FBI inquiry. That is not a statement to say they are definitely yes votes on Brett Kavanaugh, though. And, you know, protests are raging in Washington. It's hyper-partisan. You would think that if it was this hyper-partisan, maybe those Republicans would realize that. But I do think we're at a point, again, where don't take anything for granted and listen for the word temperament throughout the day. That is what you're going to hear from Senate Democrats. I guarantee it. As many times as they get to speak to the media, anytime they've got a microphone, they'll start moving away from the FBI report quickly. I think Dianne Feinstein may have done that with Chuck Schumer for them when they said there's nothing there. And they don't like that. They don't like that there's nothing to take down Brett Kavanaugh personally or criminally, these allegations in the FBI report. So where they're going to move on. And the moving on is he has a bad, you know, his temperament we don't like. So you can't vote for him for that reason. Let's go back to the phones. Tina is calling in from Texas on line three. Tina, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks. Hi, guys. I just had a comment. I don't understand why senators on both sides didn't just keep their mouth shut from the get-go as to which way they were going to vote. They would have saved the American people and the Senate a lot of anger and frustration if they followed the Constitution and said, look, we aren't going to say yay or nay until we get to the point where we have to say yay or nay. All of this back and forth is really, in my opinion, especially like Flake, it's hurting them. And then it's just angering the American people.
Well, I think it makes sense that you don't immediately make a statement about whether you support someone or not before you've even had the confirmation. Now, remember, Brett Kavanaugh has gone through this before as a circuit court nominee, and he's been confirmed by the U.S. Senate, and he has over 300 judicial opinions. I do think it's fair to say you were inclined to vote yes, or you're inclined to vote no, based off that. And I think that actually takes out a lot of the guessing game, and you realize what is important, whose votes are important, whose votes are still able to get, if you will, because that's just the political reality we're in. It would be great if you could actually assume that those Democrats would sit back and wait and actually cast judgment, not on just, oh, I disagree with judicial philosophy, but are you qualified to be a justice of the Supreme Court, which all indications for Brett Kavanaugh have been yes. So they couldn't really do it. That had to be very partisan. We don't like his judicial philosophy. That doesn't sell well with American voters, though. So what do they do next? He's a criminal. Except for can't corroborate that. So what's next? Well, I don't like his temperament. I don't like the way he responded to me. Typical U.S. senators, they think they can just scream at people all the time, throw accusations at people all the time, and you got to treat them with kid gloves. That's just not the case. They are politicians. Don't forget that. They are politicians, statewide elected office holders. I think, again, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. There is a lot to go through about how this moves forward. There will be a lot of debate in America. I don't think there's going to be so much more on the FBI report, honestly. I think that it's no corroboration. There may be some tidbits here and there that are unique, but I don't think that there would be those kind of blanket statements coming out of both sides of the aisle if there was anything there. That is the best case, let me repeat that again, for Brett Kavanaugh. They were not going to come out and say, Dr. Ford is a liar, these other people are liars. But they could have come out and found people who have agreed with the story. No one did that. Not a single person. No corroboration of those serious criminal accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. So now the line of attack from Democrats is, we don't like the way he acts. We don't like the way he sounds. We don't like the way he responded. This is, again, just listen for temperament and temperament and temperament over and over again from the left. In these next 24 hours, they're going to have time to take to the floor of the U.S. Senate and talk. They're going to do the cable news interviews. But I think what is so telling is what Dianne Feinstein said, which is that what is was most interesting to her was that what was not there. And that's because there was nothing there to report about Brett Kavanaugh and these horrendous allegations. We come back in our second half hour of the broadcast, continue to take your phone calls, broaden out the discussion as well. Again, continue to explain what will happen next, which is so important. I think people are ready for this one to wrap up, and we're moving that way in positive direction. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Follow the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. There is a lot going on outside of this nomination, but certainly it's going to be the focus of our broadcast through the week. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Do you believe this Brett Kavanaugh will be confirmed? I know what you hope. You hope he doesn't. But do you believe he will?
I think this will be a very close vote. It hangs by a few undecided Democrats and Republicans. I haven't read this report yet. If I were to just guess today, he will be narrowly confirmed.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
I'll say right now that I am ready for Republicans to start acting tougher. As Stan said during our break, this shift that may have occurred during this nomination for most Republicans is that they're not just going to vote along nominees because they get good ratings from the ABA anymore. That maybe for once they're going to take on what their voters would like them to do at Vice Consider, which you can allow for a vote, but you don't have to vote yes. So I think that that's key. You don't have to filibuster. Stop nominations from moving forward to a full vote on the U.S. Senate. But you don't have to be a yes vote on qualifications alone. Now it should be more based on, again, which we've always seen from the left, and the Republicans for the most part just weren't. I got that they thought that they had this higher ground, but for what reason? To what end? For what purpose? So that you could make that statement? No more. I think that that is out the window. But let me tell you, with this nomination, this battle is not done. I think this was a significant blow to Democrat opposition against Brett Kavanaugh at a time when they had like a bit of an upswing, and there were moments when this nomination was certainly in jeopardy. We all know that. This supplemental FBI report, which has nothing to corroborate any of the allegations, is a worst-case scenario for Senate Democrats who I'm sure were hoping there'd be something, some piece of information that they could seize on. So instead, they're saying it wasn't enough. Like, they got to go dig and dig more when they can't find anyone to corroborate these allegations. So what happens next? They don't like his temperament. Let me explain how this is important with Stan Bennett, our director of government affairs. Stan, this is now moving forward to an actual vote. So for our second half hour, and for people just joining us possibly, cloture motion gets filed last night. FBI report comes to the Senate this morning through the White House. All indications, nothing there, nothing new to report. Everything that we've already heard and seen, that's the same, and nothing new. So the motion gets filed last night. What does that mean? When is the first votes for the full Senate likely to occur?
Yeah, so Rule 22 of the Senate, Jordan, requires an intervening day after cloture is filed. So it was filed last night. Today is the intervening day, and tomorrow they can take that cloture vote, which means to end debate on the nomination. Jordan, I'm increasingly inclined to believe that that cloture motion will pass, largely because, look, if there was anything new in this FBI report, the Democrats that have already looked at it, and there have been a number of them, would have come out and disclosed that. In fact, we've heard exactly the opposite. You've been mentioning this, but Dianne Feinstein said she's concerned by what's not in it. She was not able to point to anything in it that concerned her. So to me, I think there's a very good likelihood that that cloture motion tomorrow will pass. It requires 50 votes. So you need two of the three undecided Republicans. Jordan, if it does pass, it means there will be 30 hours of post-cloture debate after that, which would push a final confirmation vote into Saturday. And again, I don't want people to assume that just if tomorrow's vote passes, that Saturday's vote will be easy. I think you still have to look at the same three undecided Republicans and ask the question, will they vote for final confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh, even if they are ready to bring the debate to a close? You need a yes vote from two of those three tomorrow on the cloture motion, and then Saturday on the final confirmation vote.
I don't usually quote Bob Corker, but I think he is right here. He's a Republican senator retiring from Tennessee. No corroboration. The FBI was not hindered. I really do think that some folks have overplayed their hand just a little bit. I think he's talking about, in his terms, the Senate Democrats on trying to, you know, must have an FBI investigation. Must have an FBI investigation. That will tell us everything. Not enough in it. Nothing there. Oh, no. What do we do? I don't like the way he acts. I just don't like the way he responded to us. I don't like the way he responded to the allegations and accusations against him. That is what happened next for Senate Democrats. I don't think that's a winning strategy. I think that this is, and we can get into this more, likely that we will have Justice Kavanaugh kind of back to where we were before all these allegations came out as of this moment. But the battle is not over. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take a lot of phone calls in the second half hour of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Protests raging in Washington, D.C. I will say something, though. When the protests turn back to kind of far left, I think that, you know, you're playing to a base, and that's not enough to stop a nomination. Is that this nomination became hung in the balance because the questions and the allegations spooked some moderate Republicans. The Democrats, to me, I think even with Heitkamp and Joe Manchin, they will just be kind of bonus votes for Brett Kavanaugh if they do vote yes. To me, the key is Jeff Flake, Susan Collins, who have made positive comments about the FBI report. That does not mean they're going to vote yes, though, but they have made positive comments. And then Lisa Murkowski. That's the key. I don't think the hard left protesting is what is going to convince the majority of senators. And I think that maybe going back to that is also a sign that the more mainstream or attempt to mainstream the attack on Brett Kavanaugh and the idea that he should be voted down has failed. So it's gone back to the far left. And there will be, again, I don't think that they're going to focus a lot of time on this FBI report on the Democrat side. I think they're going to switch right away to, so what, choose who you want to believe, look how he acted. I mean, I'm just telling you what they will say. Harry Hutchison from our policy team is joining us now. Harry, you've been following this this morning and last night throughout the nomination process. But it does seem like there's a change in the sense that it's a more positive. It was the most positive potential development for Brett Kavanaugh was that there was not a piece, not a crumb for Democrats to seize on in this FBI report and throw on someone like Jeff Flake or Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins. Say, see, someone here says it might have occurred or it could have occurred. That it appears that there is nothing there whatsoever.
Absolutely. So there is simply no corroboration to the charges made by the two accusers. But after the FBI closed its seventh background check of the nominee, the effort to confirm Judge Kavanaugh faces a largely predictable challenge from Democrats who last week asserted that an FBI background check was indeed the gold standard. Now Democrats are claiming that the actual FBI background check they demanded is a sham, or that it was too limited, or that Judge Kavanaugh's temperament is insufficient for the Supreme Court. In reality, of course, if Republicans remain strong, whatever the Democrats do will not matter. That is simply the bottom line.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Linda calling in from Utah Online 4. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. Is it possible for the Senate to implement rules to stop last-minute submissions as Feinstein did for the future nominees for the Senate? For the Supreme Court?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I don't think that there's a way to prevent that. I mean, it would seem that, obviously, if you're doing it the right way, you'd bring this to the attention early in the process so that it can be fully vetted, just analyzed behind the scenes before everyone has to be dragged through the mud publicly. But that wasn't the case here. This was an attempt to take down this nomination because the hearings were too smooth. And actually, the Democrats embarrassed themselves in those hearings. They have gotten us to forget that, right? I mean, I think most people have forgotten how embarrassing those hearings were for Senate Democrats on the Judiciary Committee. So they've moved to, let's throw these salacious allegations out. But then I don't know if there's any way. The Senate will always be partisan in a sense. I mean, that's who we elect based off the, partisan and issues. So I don't think there's a way to stop it. This may be a reason why they rethink their strategies, though, and how to do this. But this is classic, classic strategy in any situation, but especially in politics, that if you can't win on the issues, take the person down with any allegations you can.
Jordan, I don't think you'll see a specific rule enshrined about this because you always want to have the ability to consider new information if it comes up and it's credible. But here's what I will predict. I do think the next chairman of the Judiciary Committee, probably going to be Lindsey Graham. I think you'll see something probably in advance of a new nominee, well before there's a nominee, say, look, this is the way I am going to handle the process. When a nominee comes down, anyone across America is going to have 6 weeks to get information that they would like considered by this committee to us before the hearing begins, because we're going to go through a very robust process. We're going to go through 4 days of hearings. We're going to go through meetings. We're going to go through a closed session. That is your opportunity to be heard. And quite frankly, if you can't get us the information in this six weeks, then we are going to deem it not important enough to have been a part of the process, because you're not going to waste the United States Senate's time. Now, again, that's not going to preclude something if it comes credible at the end, Jordan, but I do think there's going to be every effort made by the next chairman to say, look, you've got a realistic 6 week window. Get us anything you want us to consider inside that window.
All right, folks, back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Paul calling in from New York Online 6. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
How are you?
Hey, Paul.
The reason why I'm calling is it's a perfect lead that I just had there. We don't need new rules. You know, this guy's been dragged through the mud, and great, we're going to have him confirmed, hopefully, and the Senate is going to have their chest out. No, we need to get to the bottom of this. What happened? People have to be prosecuted, whether it's as Ford, Clinton for not bringing, for destroying information that Congress called, or Dianne Feinstein having a Chinese spy in her office. We want answers. We're not allowed to get away since I'm a baby getting spanked by my parents. There has to be repercussions.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it, Paul. I get the anger. I think that oftentimes maybe we do move forward too fast in politics. So, you know, if Brett Kavanaugh gets confirmed, listen, this is going to sting for a long time. It's going to sting even if he does get confirmed. Brett Kavanaugh, those who supported his nomination, and it's going to cause a real partisan rift. You brought up different things that could be investigated for different reasons. I think the truth is all of these politicians are subject. They get job reviews. In the Senate, it's every 6 years. There's a third of them up for re-election right now. That is the best way to let people's voices be heard. Relying on courts and law enforcement for your political is a last resort. And even if there are legal issues there, listen, that was not why the FBI was not called in to do a criminal investigation of Dr. Ford or Brett Kavanaugh. It was a supplemental background information investigation. But, what remains to be seen, I don't want to talk about this in the context kind of moving forward of how important the Supreme Court is, but also how significant this could be politically for both parties. I mean, if Brett Kavanaugh moves forward, is it deflating to the left because If he moves forward, gets confirmed, is on the court, they threw everything in the kitchen sink, and they were not able to convince two Republicans to go their way.
I think you raise a very good question. And with respect to the caller's question, I would recommend that the voters that are frustrated and upset with this process to take out their anger on the Democrats by lining up to vote and vigorously support Republican candidates in the House and Senate. There's clear evidence on the ground if you look at recent poll results suggesting that is precisely what voters are doing. Republicans are now engaged in this political process. They recognize the unfairness of the process that has gone on with respect to Judge Kavanaugh's nomination, and hence they can take out their anger on someone. And I think one of the best things that they could do is to take it out at the ballot box.
All right, let's try to grab another call before this break. Remember, in our last segment of the broadcast, that is what we do. We take your phone calls. We try to answer the questions so everybody understands the process, where we're heading next on this very important nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's grab another call. Laura in Texas, I think we can answer this one quickly for you, Laura. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, and thanks for everybody and all that you do. Quick question on Kavanaugh. Is he still working, and if he does get confirmed, who takes his place?
Okay, so it's not that automatically someone takes his place. It would be another vacancy on the D.C. court. Those are then that means that someone else can be nominated. There may already be vacancies there in a sense. So there's constantly nominations moving, people retiring from the circuit court. So it's not just like an automatic. There is a line of seniority. So there may be someone that takes a seniority place, but it's not like there. It's not a vacancy like the Supreme Court. That's not how the lower courts work. Those nominations can be contentious at times, usually move through much quicker with much less fanfare than this. The nation's attention doesn't usually focus in on those hearings on the circuit court, even though most cases, 99%, are settled by. They are the final courts in most cases in the federal system. We come back. We take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. Kavanaugh's nomination vote is set for cloture. That would then lead to, if successful, a vote on his nomination by this weekend. This could actually be wrapping up. We'll talk about it when we come back.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So, you know, FBI report has been received by the U.S. Senate. Went to the White House first because it's the executive branch agency. They then have disseminated it to the U.S. Senate. Senators are going through it, just so you're clear. Senators on both sides of the aisle say there's nothing new there. That's the best case scenario for Brett Kavanaugh. The FBI wasn't going to clear him in the sense of saying Dr. Ford is a liar, these other people are liars. But what they have said is that not a single other person will corroborate their accounts against their allegations and accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. That's the best case scenario Brett Kavanaugh could have. So where do the Democrats go next? It's temperament. So that's where we are there. There's been cloture motion filed. That means the first vote would occur tomorrow. That is not a final vote. If that is successful, that would open up the final floor debate in the U.S. Senate and then set up a vote for Saturday on Brett Kavanaugh. That would actually be the confirmation vote that would put Brett Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. Now that we're all caught up and we have a date in sight now, an end date in sight, very quick, very soon, it's all coming to a head very quickly. Let's go and take your phone calls, what we do in the final segment of the broadcast. Sarah is calling from Maryland on line three. Sarah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
I am so glad that Kavanaugh has this persevering spirit. He has a backbone, and America needs someone with a backbone to protect our country and their families as well as the morals of our country. And he went through unbelievable interrogation for the Democrats. And I really feel this, that the Republicans need to have a backbone and stand up for our country. And we all, it's really making the American public angry to see all what he has to go through with from the Democrats.
Well, and that is the big point, Sarah, is how angry are the American public by what has been done to Brett Kavanaugh? And is it angry enough to push back against what may be a blue wave in the House, even though the House has no role in this, but you know, as people vote or on just enthusiasm? That is a big question that remains. Is it something that is kind of happens? And though for many of us who are very engaged in the process, most of our listeners, I would say you would fall in that category, will not forget this, that many Americans will move forward. And will this be a deciding factor or not? That all still remains to be seen. We do have a couple lines open. If you call right now, you may have time to get on the broadcast still. 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to Harry. Harry, the idea here, though, now is I think we have reached a point, as we were just discussing, that even those Republicans who have tried, like Lindsey Graham, to be the types who say people deserve not even just an up or down vote, but a yes vote if they're qualified, even if I disagree with their entire philosophy of looking at the law, that may have changed significantly. Because if Lindsey Graham has decided he could start voting no on nominees because of their judicial philosophy, things have really shifted. Republicans may be starting to get a backbone. It'll take time. Now, a lot of these, some of these Republicans like Jeff Flake and some of the ones that are in the middle are not going to be there next time around. Others probably will, like Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins.
I think you're absolutely correct. Recent events suggest that Republicans have to grow a backbone because the failure to do so will do what? It will simply encourage the Democrats. So you have a Democratic Senator Feinstein who sought an FBI investigation, withheld the information from the accuser for something like 2 months. She is now crying wolf. She is responding to the deafening roar of missing corroboration and basically the roar that comes from the American people because of her own misconduct. She is now saying, Dr. Ford deserves better. Well, perhaps she's right in one sense. Dr. Ford needs a better senator, a senator who is honest to the American people. And so I think Republicans need to respond to recent events. They need to grow a backbone. They need to stand up to the misconduct by the Democrats, or they should move on with their lives.
Lisa's calling in from Texas on line four. Lisa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Lisa.
My question is this. Do you think possibly that the three senators that are holding out could have been just basically trying to appease the Democrats and turn around and vote yes at the end?
I mean, they're not going to appease any Democrats by voting yes. I mean, I think that's the point. They may have tried to, again, get some favor. I think that they were used by those Democrats, I think, is a better way to look at that. I kind of turned it on its head. It's, they were pressured by people they may have good personal relationships with, like Jeff Flake and Chris Coons, into taking this action. But they're not. Ultimately, if you're a yes vote on this, you're not going to appease any Democrats at all and they're going to all, you know, for the most part, be no votes except for a couple, which may come over after Brett Kavanaugh reaches 51 votes.
It's abundantly clear, Jordan, that no matter what Senate Republicans do, it's not going to satisfy the Democrat caucus inside the United States Senate. I would say this, though, even within the three Republicans that we've been talking about, I think there's a difference. I mean, I think if you look at Senator Collins' statements from the very beginning, frankly, she has been very sober. She's been very deliberate. She's been very thorough. And she has consistently said she wants to see as much information as possible. And today she said that this investigation was very thorough. I think that is a very reasonable way to approach this. I will say I take a little bit of an exception with the way Senator Flake handled this during committee. Yeah. Remember, he came out and said, I'm satisfied. I'm a yes vote. And then I think it might be fair to ask the question whether or not he was trying to appease his friend, Senator Coons. They got this agreement. They got a fairly clear FBI report. But guess where Senator Coons is, Jordan? He's still a no vote. He said it again this morning. So I do think there's a difference between the way Senator Collins approached this and the way Senator Flake did.
Kathy in Florida on line six. Kathy, good question. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to know what happens if the cloture vote does not pass, and will he be able to go back and be judge in the D.C. district that he's in now if he does not get approved?
For technically, yes, if he doesn't get approved, he doesn't like lose that seat on the circuit court in D.C. Then if the cloture vote fails, though, you can't move to the next vote. That would probably be the end of the nomination. Right.
Yeah, technically, the debate on the nomination could continue, but Jordan, if that fails, I would expect his nomination to be withdrawn.
All right, Diane in California, last call of the day. Diane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks,
question to you is, do the Republican senators have to be present for and involved in the 30 hours of debate following cloture?
No, most of this is, again, they'll go to the Senate floor, and there's time allotted for each senator. If they so choose, they can use that time. I think most will. Most of the time, there may be a couple other senators there in the room. Democrats may try to mount something where there's more. I mean, they can all be there if they want to, but they don't have to be. It's when the votes occur that is important. Let me ask this now. I'll go to Harry first and then Than. At this point, we've got the FBI report is in. All indications, though, we haven't gotten to see it. There's not a crumb of evidence or anything to corroborate any allegations against Brett Kavanaugh. Nothing there. Nothing new. Will Brett Kavanaugh be confirmed to the Supreme Court based off that information now that we have it?
I think there's a 95% chance that he will.
So it's
indeed
gone up a lot. A
confirmed.
Lot. Your percentage. Absolutely. Stan, what about your kind of feel about this right now? You're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. I think he's going to be confirmed. Actually, I think he's probably going to get all 51 Republicans. I think Lisa Murkowski is probably the biggest wild card. And again, Jordan, as we've said from the beginning, if he gets to 50, I think he's going to get Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin as well.
Yeah, I think, listen, that's where I am. I'm with where Harry is, where Than is. But I don't want anyone out there, if you support this nomination, and you don't like the way Brett Kavanaugh has been treated, you can see how this could be used against anyone, really, this kind of tactic. Do not let your guard down, because the battle is not over. You will hear the word temperament. Just listen for that. We'll talk about it tomorrow. I'm sure we'll find many sound bites, many tweets with the word temperament in it. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.